You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Well, good afternoon, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle, every Tuesday and Friday afternoon here on Radio Maria Canada. Thank you again. God bless you for joining us this afternoon. Brothers and sisters, we've been talking about joy and finding joy in the midst of suffering. You know, in times of trial, we don't see much joy, do we? It is a joy, though, that is purified by trials, our everyday trials. So before I continue, let's begin with a Hail Mary, and then we will resume our broadcast today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And let's add a glory be, shall we? Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, thank you. But, you know, it's hard. It's hard to go to a sick person and say, you know what, who is really suffering, and say, come on, don't worry, tomorrow you'll have joy. You know, we know we can't say this. We have to help them feel what Jesus made us feel. When we are in the dark, we don't see anything. I know. And then we can say, you know, Lord, I know that this sorrow that I have will turn to joy. I don't know how, but I just know it. An act of faith in the Lord, an act of faith to help us understand the sadness that turns to joy. Jesus takes the example of a woman in labor. It's true, women suffer a lot in childbirth. Even the Pope said, but then when she holds her child, she forgets. What remains is the joy of Jesus, a purified joy. That is the joy that remains. The Pope even acknowledged that this joy is hidden in some moments of life. We do not feel it in bad times, but it comes later, a joy in hope. This is the message of the Church today. Do not be afraid. Be courageous in suffering, and remember that the Lord will come after. Joy will come after, and after the dark comes the sun. May the Lord give us all this joy in hope. And the sign that we have this joy in hope is peace. That's how you'll know. How many sick who are at the end of life in pain have that peace of soul? This is the seed of joy. This is the joy of hope and peace. Do you have peace of soul in time of darkness, in times of trouble, in times of persecution, when everyone else rejoices at your suffering? Do you have peace? If you have peace, you have the seed of joy that will come later. May the Lord help us understand these things. You know, God wants us to have genuine passion for the Eucharist and for the other sacraments. He wants to see us leading prayerful lives. I can't even speak this afternoon. And you know, brothers and sisters, does the thought ever occur to us that our actions, as well as our words, are being observed by others? And then, well, this then places an important burden on our shoulders. So we ask ourselves, are we islands of joy? Do we reflect the light of Christ to others? Or have we lost our Catholic identity and become completely assimilated into the surrounding secular culture? We might be tempted to say that we should not be responsible for helping the faith and spiritual welfare of others, but indeed, we are partly responsible. We are here to help ourselves, our families, and everyone we know to get to heaven. If we are living up to the world's expectations and not showing others the light of Christ, well, the path of heaven, the path to heaven, leads through the Catholic Church will not be attractive to them. They will not see what is so special about being Catholic if those of us who are Catholic fail to live up to our responsibility. And on the other hand, if we stay focused on Christ, on serving Christ, living as faithful Catholics, and pursuing lives of personal holiness, we will make the path to the church look more appealing. You know what? They will want what we have and will seek us out to find the reason for our joy. Right? What's your secret? We have so much to be thankful for in our relationship with Christ and the truth and the beauty of our Catholic faith. But being truly joyful should lead to sharing that joy and the ability to express the truths of our faith in a way that shows the depth of our sincere belief and love to others. You know, a Christian who is not convinced he has the truth is not convinced he has Christ. Only convinced Christians have any chance of convincing others. Half-convinced Christians won't even half convince anybody. They won't convince at all. St. Paul reinforces that call to be joyful in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So let's say that, let's remember that. Rejoicing always, always, not some of the time. Praying constantly, and giving thanks. When things are great, when things work out our way? No, in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The apostle makes it sound simple. But do we struggle to do something that appears to be so easy? We all deal with various forms of adversity. Some of us are actually, right now as we speak, are unemployed. We're without work. We're at home, wondering what the next step is. Well, brothers and sisters, some are dealing with illness. And others are struggling with a relationship or financial problems. The current economic crisis, the global attacks on religious liberties, and the relentless attacks on the church by the secular media have made many of us apathetic, gloomy, and even frightened. There are real obstacles to joy, and they have to be acknowledged. But as Romans chapter 12, verse 12, rejoice in your hope, be patient in tribulation. As tough as things may be, Catholics have work to do for Christ. We all serve a purpose here, brothers and sisters. None of us are here by accident. None of us are here for nothing. We all have a purpose. You have a purpose. You have a purpose to serve Christ. And you may be wondering what exactly that looks like. Well, that's a little conversation between you and the Lord. Really, nobody can answer that for you. Nobody can tell you what you should be doing. And if they do, well, you know what? Either you listen to people or you listen to the Lord. And you ask the Lord. And you know what, brothers and sisters, if you have that deep-rooted faith, you'll know that either a window opens, a door closes, something goes where it opens and allows something to happen so easily without effort. And that's the path you're to take. Because sometimes when you keep pushing for something and you're wanting something and the door just refuses to open, and you keep thinking, but Lord, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Here's the thing, brothers and sisters, we don't know the mind of God. How are we to know unless we ask him and then allow him access to our heart and to our mind and to our soul and to say, Lord Jesus, I just trust you to open the path, to make it smooth for me to walk through so that I may serve you as best as I possibly can on this earth. And that's what's going to happen, brothers and sisters. And some people in the pagan world, oh, you had good luck, or you had bad luck, or you were just lucky at the time. You were at the right place at the right. No, there's no such thing as coincidence. There's none of that. The pagan world talks like that. But we Christian Catholics don't talk like that. We know who's in control. It's not the luck of the dice. It's the will of Christ. So, St. Paul, so like the early Christians, we too, we are called to share the good news, okay? So do you recall that in the life of St. Paul, he was shipwrecked, imprisoned, beaten, starved, and even stoned? He showed incredible courage and fortitude to share his joy and the message of Christ to the Gentiles, despite his suffering. Remember, I told you that, the beautiful letter, especially the letter to the Ephesians, it was, and of course, he had written several letters from prison. But, you know, we're not talking like a chalet. We're not talking of nice food. And we're talking among rats and dampness and cold and just hunger and sickness and beating and torture. He showed incredible courage. And for Catholics, we need to follow that kind of example. For Catholics, joy in the midst of extreme adversity. Well, that's our obligation and our duty. Remember that we are not alone. Our faith in Christ and our devotion in the sacraments that bind us to him will see us through the tough times and help us share a joy which will not evaporate in the face of tough challenges. Be encouraged by our Lord's words in John chapter 16, verse 33. What does he say? I have told you this so that you might have peace in me. In the world you will have trouble, but take courage. I have conquered the world. It is so easy to get lost in our problems, isn't it? I know. I totally get it. And forget to be joyful. I know. Believe me. I'm no saint, let's say. It happens to me too, and just about everyone else I know. But remember that we are surrounded by people who are watching us. They may be seeking him and looking for someone, anyone, to show them the way to Christ. They could learn from our good example. Be inspired, brothers and sisters. Be inspired by our joy and be encouraged by our faith. Journeys for if we only remember that we are called to share the good news. If we're gloomy and frustrated and critical of the church, we'll never be able to help anyone. And we may even put our own salvation at risk. So, how about some steps to practical joy? Well, here we go. Number one, surrender to Christ. Every day, recommit yourself to putting him first in all areas of your life. 2, give up burdens. Give up your burdens to Jesus in daily prayer. Give them up. Give it to Him. I can't do it alone, and I need His help. 3, go to frequent reconciliation. Unburdening my soul of sin brings me peace and joy. 4, be thankful for my blessings. I can gripe about my problems, or I can focus on all of the incredible blessings in my life and express my gratitude to the Lord in prayer. So remember that. You don't have to, it's easy to, we can all gripe, believe me, we all have that. But we need to stay focused. 5, stay out of that Catholic cafeteria line, you know? I fully accept the teachings of the Catholic Church and follow the magisterium. I don't follow the parts I like and reject those I do not like. I know what I may not understand will be revealed to me over time if I have faith. And start with the end in mind. Are my actions each day serving Him? I hope to hear Jesus say at the end of my life on this earth, brothers and sisters, well done, good and faithful servant. My goal is heaven, and I must live a life that leads me there. Jesus said, love me and you will be happy. The more you love me, the happier you will be. Even when you find yourself in utter darkness, love will produce light. Love will produce strength, and love will produce joy. The greater our love for God, the greater will be our knowledge of Him. And the greater our knowledge of Him, the greater will be our delight in serving Him. You know, the passion of our Lord Jesus is the shortest way to perfection. The life of Christ, my gosh, was but a continuous cross. God confers a great honor on us when He calls us to walk the same path as His only Son. If you correspond to the designs of God, He will make a saint of you. Be generous and remember that we ought to walk in the footsteps of Jesus crucified. The servant of God who is not crucified with Jesus Christ, what is he? He is unworthy of divine contemplation, who has not fought and conquered some great temptation. God has suffered much for me and for you. Ought we not to suffer something for Him? Prayer is the sure way that leads to holiness. We enter on the road to perdition when we neglect prayer. The prayer which humbles the soul. It inflames her with love and excites her to the practice of virtue. It's never subject to illusion. In prayer, the soul is united to God through love. By habitually thinking of the presence of God, we succeed in praying 24 hours a day. The continual remembrance of the presence of God engenders in the soul a divine state. The soul is a seed which God sows in the field of the church to produce fruits. It must die under the strokes of pains and sorrows and persecutions. The greater our cross, the greater is our gain. The more deprived suffering is of consolation, the purer it is. The more creatures are against us, the more closely united are we to God. He who truly loves God regards as little what he suffers for God's sake. In your trials, have recourse to Mary, and she will remedy them. Do you know why God subjects you to so many miseries? That He may bestow on you the riches of heaven. Listen, suffering is brief. Joy will be eternal. Let us fear more to be deprived of sufferings than a miser fears to lose his treasures. Sufferings are the pearls of Jesus crucified. It happens sometimes that the lightning rends a mountain and discloses therein a mine of treasures. And so also the thunderbolts of adversity bring forth a gold mine in certain souls. So then, how is it possible to access and allow joy to fill a soul through these micro and macro experiences of suffering and evil? Well, joy requires us to release our expectation of what is an acceptable outcome. Three passages of scripture have rocked my outcome-based spiritual world lately. And I told you this a million times, but anyway, I love this story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it." What conviction! "And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what has been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible," this is our Jesus, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as your will." All held loosely to the outcome because it didn't define the one they worshiped, trusted, and loved. Letting go of acceptable outcome, letting go is the birthplace of joy. I want to be this kind of worshiper, but at times I do have a hard time letting go. Joy requires that we feel sadness and anguish and grief. We're told in Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." We're also reminded in Psalm 30, "Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." Oh my gosh. Read scripture, brothers and sisters. If anything, if you don't want to listen to me, don't listen to me, but read scripture, read God's truth. It is so nourishing for the soul. It'll give you such comfort, such peace. We cannot know joy if we don't embrace pain. And until recently, I didn't realize how intimately these are actually connected. This reality is laced not only through the entire narrative of the scriptures, but research to date on psychological resilience affirms it too. We are designed to feel pain and struggle through it. And when we resist it, there's a tremendous cost to the joy we experience in our lives. I did a Bible study. We finished in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 7, it describes the saints that have endured suffering in the name of Christ and have come out of the tribulation and have had their robes washed white by the blood of Christ. And they are on their faces before the throne of God saying, "Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Now, brothers and sisters, I may leave you with a story and we'll see how that goes. A man was shipwrecked on an island, desperate and alone. He spent his days struggling to survive, gathering branches to build himself a shelter and searching for food. And at night, he just collapsed in exhaustion by the small fire he was able to start and pray that God would rescue him. Months went by. One day, still clinging to hope, the man left his shelter to find food. But when he returned, Everything he struggled to build was engulfed in flames. His eyes burned with tears as he watched the billows of smoke. Dropping to his knees, he wept. God, how could you let this happen when I begged you for help? His energy spent, the man fell into a deep sleep, only to be awakened the next morning by the sound of voices on the beach. He looked up and saw a man dressed in a ship captain's uniform with several men standing beside him. The shipwrecked man sobbed with joy and asked, "How did you find me?" The captain answered, "We saw the smoke signals you sent up." Sometimes life really does look messed up, and it's hard to see any rhyme or reason as to why. But there must be, brothers and sisters. You have to know that. Lately, I've wondered if the secret to contentment is really about perspective. God says to us, "This is what I do, for my power is made in weakness." Brothers and sisters, I know that you must be thinking, "Oh, that all sounds..." It takes time, it takes work, but it takes faith. Faith in a risen Christ, that you can have hope, that you can have joy. And you know, brothers and sisters, the moment you start feeling grateful for what you have, those are the little snippets of joy that come through in your life. And then you start to be grateful. You know, I know the pandemic has been excruciatingly challenging for many, for all of us to some degree, mentally, physically, economically, emotionally, and spiritually. But above all, spiritually, brothers and sisters, if anything, I hope that this time has brought you closer to our Lord Jesus, has made you realize that our Blessed Mother is there for us, to intercede for us, to make the path smooth for us, so that we can get to our Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, that every one of you, and I pray that you all experience joy, a spiritual joy, a joy that comes when you have peace in your heart, when you have forgiveness in your heart, when you have a quietness in your heart, when you can let go of your troubles and bring them to the foot of the cross. Don't worry, brothers and sisters. Believe me, don't worry. God knows what you're going through. You're not alone. God knows. He's holding you in his hands and he's not letting you go. And yes, and around you, you're surrounded by all kinds of frightening situations, sad situations. But you have nothing to fear, nothing. Because the pagan world wants you to be afraid. The pagan world wants you to be discouraged. But you are not of the flesh. You are of the spirit. God loves you and wants to take care of you. Let him do that. Let go and just say to yourself, say it out loud, "I trust you, Lord, with everything in my life. Thanks be to God." Bye for now. I've got no